Well, take your Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. We've been preaching through, and I know we have a number of guests, so seriously, we will make this brief. But we've been preaching through the Gospel of John, and John recorded 7 major miracles, or 7 signs. And we come today to the 6th sign. Jesus healing the man who's born blind. Now, it was brought to my attention that we missed a miracle in John chapter 4. If you remember in John chapter 4, Jesus has a conversation with a woman at the well, and Jesus read her mind. That, church, is a miracle. If you can read a woman's mind, that is a miracle. So thanks to John Matthews for that bit of information there. But so we come to the 6th miracle. Next Sunday, we'll look at the raising of Lazarus. And Scotty Hollins, who is a local minister with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and other leadership ministry, he'll be preaching for us, and we're excited about that. But John chapter 9, let me read the passage and we'll jump in. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Father, thank you for your word this morning. God, we do thank you for the message that we've just heard in song. Lord, what great truths on forgiveness and perseverance. And Lord, the beauty of the body of Christ pulling and working together. God, may we take that message to heart. God, speak to us this morning from your word about light, the light of life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite stories is our oldest son used to ask me, "Now, Dad, are you preaching or telling the truth?" I'm preaching for just a few minutes. But there were two boys who were playing around an old barnyard, and they were looking in stuff, getting in stuff just as boys do, and they found an old abandoned well. And so they began to throw rocks in that well to hear how deep it was. And finally, they could hear a splash. They threw sticks in that well to just see what was going on. Finally, together, they found an old cross tie. And the two boys picked it up, and they threw that cross tie into the well. And as they were standing there, in just a matter of seconds, a goat came running by and jumped in that well. They looked at each other in amaze and went on about playing. And after a while, an old farmer came by and said, "Boys, I've lost my goat. Have you seen a goat?" And they said, "Well, sir, we have. A goat came running by a few minutes ago and jumped in that well." The farmer said, "It couldn't have been mine. He was tied to a cross tie." So my son used to brag, "Dad's stories always relate to the sermon," but that one doesn't. No, seriously, though, I spent a lot of time on what we called a farm. It was just basically an old home place that Daddy bought, and it had 120 acres of land. But we were always playing and plundering and overturning boards and logs and stuff. And here's what I want you to know. When we would find a board that had been in the ground for a long time, you turn it over. Two things. Number one, the ground was always bare. Nothing can grow underneath a board, okay? Where there is no light, there is no life, okay? But there was an element of life under the board. If you've ever turned over an old board that's been there for a while, when we would turn the board over, you would see all kind of critters scurrying around. I mean, there would be bugs and roaches and even worms, and sometimes if we were lucky, there'd be a snake under there. But there was all kind of life under a board, but here's the deal. It would always go toward darkness. When the light came after turning the board over, the animals would scurry, the creatures would scurry trying to get out of the light. It's what we learn from nature. But there are basically two responses to light in the world. There are some creatures that love darkness. That is their domain. That's their domain, excuse me, domain. You know, it's a new word. But anyway, that's where they live. They thrive in darkness. But they're also, There's a response to light that brings life. If you turn that board over and left it uncovered, after a while, the grass would begin to grow. And it would respond to the light. And that light would bring life. We see this in the world today among people. There are people who continually are drawn to darkness. As a matter of fact, Jesus said they love darkness. There are people who live in darkness. You know, I've heard it said just this week, this guy's in a dark place. What does that mean? That he's struggling. He's having some tough times. And sometimes we go through dark places in our life. But there are people outside of the light of Christ who are blinded. As a matter of fact, the scripture says if our gospel is blind, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So we live in darkness till we come to Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We were just talking about the grace race. You know, John Newton, the author of the great hymn, Amazing Grace, he's a great picture of what we're talking about this morning. He was a godless sailor in 1747. He was known for his profanity. It was even said that he invented some vulgar words, and that's pretty bad. He invented vulgar words, but he lived in the darkness of sin. You know what his vocation was? He was a sailor, but he was involved in the slave trade. Taking people from mostly Africa, bringing them to Europe, selling human beings as slaves. That was his business. One day he was involved with his crew in a storm, and he wrote about how God changed his life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch, if there was ever a wretch, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Was what? Blind, but now I see. Let me tell you two things quickly this morning. The light of the world brings life. Jesus said this in John 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. This morning, as we look at Jesus healing the man who was born blind, don't miss the message of the miracle. He says, while I am in the world, I am, verse 5, the light of the world. See, we were all born in darkness. And people who live in darkness need light. You could not have a better example of darkness than this man that Jesus healed. He was a man who had never seen a sunrise in the morning. He was a man who lived in darkness. He'd never seen the faces of his loved ones. Can you imagine that? He was born in darkness. Jesus approaches him and changes his life. Not only does he heal the man, but he declares, I am the light, not just for this man, but I am the light of the world, of the world. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning on how Jesus performed the miracle, but just the implication or what does this miracle mean to us? See, this sign is so important because Jesus bringing sight to the blind was a part of what we see through the Old Testament, what we call messianic prophecies. Isaiah said that God would come. And one of the things that God would do, he would restore the sight of the blind. Isaiah 35, behold, your God will come. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Isaiah did that again in Isaiah 29, 18, 42, 7. He talked about when the Messiah comes, there will be no doubt about the fact that he is the Messiah because he will bring sight to the blind. So this is one of the seven miracles that John recorded in his gospel to give absolute proof that Jesus is the Messiah. John 20, 31, these signs have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Without light, there is no life. Jesus is the light of the world, and there is life in his name. I remember several years ago seeing this illustrated. I was invited to go to Uganda, and we were preaching one night outside of Mbaro. There, the pastor, Nissan Ibrahim had rented a flatbed trailer. And he set this trailer up right outside of a village, right in front of a village outside of Mimbaro. And it was just a little rural village. And so all of us on the program are sitting on the trailer in our chairs up there. And in Africa, they have really, really, really long services, okay? And I was to preach, so I was not going to speak until the end of the service. And so as we're sitting there, there's lights on the trailers, but the villagers are out there. They're our audience. And we just kind of came into their space. They're moving around their huts and their yards. Some of them put chairs up where they could hear what was going on there, kind of, but others were just going about their regular routine. And as I was sitting there on that trailer, realizing I'm fixing to preach, I realized kind of a nightmare for a preacher, Brother Colby. I had the wrong message. I mean, these people, they would have no idea what I was going to preach. So I took out a sheet of paper and I wrote it. This is the sheet of paper. And then I'd ask the question, why should I believe in Jesus? Why should I believe in Jesus? And I said, there are two, I think, unmistakable proofs why we should believe in Jesus. Two convincing arguments. Number one, his words. And number two, his works. And that's what I wrote out in my sermon on the trailer. His words and his works. And this is what we see this morning. As this Ugandans were groping in darkness out there, what did they need? They needed hope. They needed to hear words of hope. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What did Jesus say? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. No one ever spoke the words that Jesus spoke. And let me tell you here this morning, travel the world over, no one ever spoke the words Jesus spoke. I am the light of the world. Then we see his works. He feeds the 5,000. He walks on water. He gives sight to a blind man who was born blind. Works, Isaiah said, that would be attributed to God, God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Absolute proof that Jesus is the Messiah. Works, his words, the light that Jesus brings into the world brings life. His light brings life by exposing our sin, our need for a Savior. His light brings life to us by pointing us to the one who is life, the God of the universe. John said in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This morning, you may be in a dark place. Let me tell you, there's light in Christ. There's hope. If you're not a Christian, you can come to Christ and find salvation. You can find a relationship with the God of the universe through Christ. If you are a believer, and believe me not, we go through dark places at times. We come to Christ. We bring our situation to Christ because he is light. He is the light of the world. This light brings life. But secondly, the same light of the world also brings judgment. Jesus said that in John 3. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. But here's the problem. And men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. I think about that board down in Belleville on our farm, when I would turn over that board and those little critters would scutter. They'd just scurry around. They don't like the light. They're trying to find a place they can hide. Men love darkness rather than light. They don't come to the light because he says their deeds are evil. So we see two totally different responses in John chapter 8 and 9. Look, if you would, at chapter 8, verse 59. Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. They picked the stones up to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Then we have in verse 38 of chapter 9, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he fell and worshiped him. See, the same light that brings life also brings judgment when we come to Christ. It brings judgment. No one likes to have their sin exposed. No one likes to see ourselves for who we really are. But when we come to the light of Christ, we see that we're all in need of a Savior. Every man and woman and boy and girl, we're lost. We're living in darkness. We're living in our sin. As a matter of fact, the Bible is even stronger. Rather than just being blind, we're dead in our sin. The Bible says, for we were all once dead in our sin. For we were dead in our sin. But when we come to the light of Christ, we find life. The same light that brings life is also the light by which all men will be judged. Jesus said in John 3, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. See, Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. But here's the key. The other side of the coin is this. By coming as light and bringing salvation to those who believe, at the same time, he brings judgment to those who don't believe. The very cornerstone, Peter said, that is the cornerstone of the church, became a stumbling block to those who don't believe. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. The one who saves the believer is the same who condemns the unbeliever. And so as we close this morning, he who has the Son of God has life. He who has the Son of God has life and has light. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John Newton said it best. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we come to Christ, we come to the light. And as we come to the light, we walk in the light. We know what it's like to be in darkness. Ephesians 5 said this, for you were all once darkness. Now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What does it mean to walk in the light? For the church, Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. How do we walk in light? I like what Philip Yancey says in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace? This is how the church walks in the light. If the world despises a notorious sinner, the church will love her. If the world cuts off aid to the poor and the suffering, the church will offer food and healing. If the world oppresses, the church will raise up the oppressed. If the world shames a social outcast, the church will proclaim God's reconciling love. If the world demands retribution, the church dispenses grace. If the world splinters into factions, the church joins together in unity. If the world destroys its enemies, the church loves them. Do you see the difference between light and darkness? Church, that's who we're called to be. We're called to walk in the light, to be different, to be God's light, to be Christ's light in this world we live in. We walk in the light, but we continually come to the light. What does it mean to come to the light? Again, having your sin exposed is not pleasant. You know, when we come to the light as human beings, we're going to have sin exposed in our life. But what do? We admit it, we confess it, and we forsake it. And we then continue walking in the light as we walk with Christ. The Jews rejected the light and tried to destroy it. The blind man was confronted by the light of the world, and his life was never the same. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ, the invitation is come to the light. Come to the light. Come to the light just as you are. You know, people say, well, I need to clean up my life before I join the church. I need to clean up my life before I become a Christian. No, you come to the light just as you are. Jesus exposes us for who we are, and he forgives us, and then he transforms us into who he wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you.